Welcome to the PDP Podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Well, hello again, everyone. Jeff Ditzenberger here. Once again, very happy to be on the PDP Podcast. For those of you that didn't hear the last one that I did, I am a former dairy farmer, crop farmer, veteran who had his own suicide attempt in the early 90s, right after Desert Storm. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about today could be triggering, and I just wanted you to know that if it gets to be too much for you, it's okay to shut off the radio and come back to it later if you want to. If it affects you enough that you need to talk to someone, the National Suicide Hotline or the Crisis Line is 988. They are trained volunteers who will talk you through. And if it's really, really bad, you know, do not hesitate to dial 911. I founded an organization back in 2015 that is called TUGS, Talking, Understanding, Growing, and Supporting, because even big ships need little ships sometimes. And one of the core things for my organization is to get rid of the stigmas that surround suicide, as well as letting people know that they matter and that we would like you to stay, and to hopefully get them in touch with resources that can help them do that as well. And 988 obviously is one of those resources. It's a great organization. I've used it myself even on occasion. So if you're feeling down and need someone to talk to, would definitely recommend that. So today, the thing that I want to talk about a little bit is a training that I am trained to do, and that is called QPR. And what QPR is, it's like CPR for mental health. So it stands for question, persuade, and refer. And one of the big misconceptions about suicide and mental health and depression out there is that people think if they talk to someone who's already suicidal, that that'll make them more suicidal. And believe it or not, it's the exact opposite. So that's one of the things that QPR teaches us as well, is to be able to ask the question. And what I mean by the question is, you can be very blunt about this. You know, if you think someone is thinking about dying by suicide, you can simply say to them, hey, are you thinking about ending your life? Or, you know, maybe you're witnessing someone at work who, you know, usually is super upbeat, you know, happy-go-lucky, maybe is gone for a few days or just don't seem the same, kind of seem off, maybe a little snippy or just real quiet and they're not normally quiet. You can rephrase that question to something of, you know, hey, when people are going through some tough times, you know, they might think about ending their lives, and you know, you seem kind of down and depressed. You know, is there something really bad that is affecting you? And sometimes, you know, it'll spark a conversation, and you know, they'll say things like, no, I just, you know, having some troubles at home, or, you know, nope, just haven't been feeling good, and that kind of thing. But what we have to remember is that, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot is difficult conversations. And let's be honest, talking about suicide, talking about mental health or mental wellness, talking about depression is a difficult conversation. But what I always tell people is, what's more difficult, asking someone if they're suicidal or being at their visitation or their funeral and listening to that conversation about their life? And I know myself personally, I would rather have that first difficult conversation. And I tell people all the time, I would much rather spend hours listening to everything that's bothering you and bringing you angst as I would to listen to 5 minutes of your eulogy. So that's the first part of QPR, is the question. And I always tell people, if you can't ask the question yourself, you know, find somebody to help you. Maybe, you know, everything is always better with a team, obviously. And if that means that you have to dial 911 because you're concerned about that person, that's okay too. I've had those situations where, you know, it's been a conversation via text message or email or something like that, even where I've actually had welfare checks done. And I will tell you, sometimes it doesn't go quite as well as what you would like it to, because they're mad that you know, had somebody check on them. But later on, I've always had people come back and say, hey, thanks for taking that extra step. Thanks for, you know, thinking highly enough of me to make sure that I was okay, because I really wasn't. And I wasn't mad that you had me checked on. I was just mad that I, you know, wasn't dealing with those emotions and stuff to the best of my ability, and being completely upfront and honest about it. And I think when we think about ourselves as human beings, everybody wants to matter. Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to, you know, feel like they've had an impact on somebody. Everybody wants to just feel like they belong somewhere. And, you know, in this society that we live in now, everything is so fast-paced. I feel like, you know, we just celebrated my grandmother's 101st birthday, and we had like 30 people in her house, and we did cookies and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of reflected on that later on that day. It's like, you don't do that like we used to. Like, we don't spend time talking across the fence. In the agricultural industry, that's one of the things that we always, I can remember my grandfather saying, oh, we got to go down the road and talk to the neighbor across the fence. And, you know, we need to do that more often. I think we get so inundated and overwhelmed with social media and text messaging and emails and Teams meetings and Zoom meetings and all these other things that are occupying our daily lives that we forget that, you know, those face-to-face conversations or to actually dial those numbers on a phone and instead of sending a text message, actually push the little green button that sends it to that person and, you know, hopefully they answer on the end of it and we can talk to them. Because it's just like sending a text message. If you send a text message that says, hey, Bill, how are you doing? And Bill replies back to you, okay. Did he say that as okay or okay? And you can hear that when you have that conversation, that actual voice inflection that happens when you have an actual conversation on the phone. The second part of QPR is the persuade part. This is the part where, you know, you remind somebody of something that they did or the purpose that they have that is the reason that they need to stay here. You know, maybe it's something like, you know, they gave the boss a funny coffee mug at the company Christmas party and everybody laughed about it and the boss thought it was the greatest thing ever and he talks about it every time you go into the office, you know, and remind them of that joy that they brought. Or, you know, one of the things that I've used multiple times is, you know, what about your kids? What about your grandkids? In the agricultural industry, who's going to take care of your cows? Who's going to take care of your calves? Who's going to polish up that John Deere or Case IH tractor or whatever tractor that you're so proud of all the time? You know, who's going to drive it in the parade that you drive that tractor in all the time? And who's going to give those words of wisdom, you know, if you're not here? You know, and everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a reason that they're here. I can even remember during my own six-week planning period of my own suicide attempt, you know, I think if, as a matter of fact, I don't even think. I know that if someone would have told me, you know, your kid brother needs you, or, you know, who's going to polish the motorcycle for you or whatever, I know for a fact that I wouldn't have had my attempt. So that's basically the persuade part of it, is that what has that person done? You know, maybe they've even affected you in a positive way. If you're that person having that conversation with them, say, hey, you know, remember that time we went to the county fair and my steer got away and you were the only one that could calm it down, or you're the one that caught it and then you bought me ice cream afterwards? And those are the kind of things that we need to remind them of, that there is some reason for them to stay. And I find it interesting too, the reasons. There's actually a shirt out there now that I happened to come across on social media not too long ago that if you're reading this, here's 99 reasons to stay. So, you know, maybe Google that, and there's stuff on there that's applicable to everybody that's out there, which might be the difference between them deciding that, yes, life is worth living as opposed to not being here. One of the other things that those of us in this mindset use is the, you know, hey, it's just a bad day, or maybe it's a bad week, but it's not a bad life. You know, there's always some kind of a joy that's on the end of the horizon. And I spoke last time about how, you know, I'm not the type of person who's going to tell you that everything's going to be better tomorrow, because I can't make that promise. But I can tell, you know, a person, and we all can, that, you know what, we're going to stick this out with you. We're going to be here with you. You know, we're going to remind you, you know, every hour on the hour if we have to, you know, something good that you've done that's made a difference in people's lives, to make sure that you stay here. And then the third part of the QPR process is the refer part. And this is tenfold different ways that this can go. You know, ask that person, you know, is there somebody that you really, really trust that you would want to talk to more about this? Whether that be, you know, for the younger kids, maybe it's a favorite coach or a favorite teacher. You know, a lot of people have religious faith that is going to help them through. Do you want to talk to your minister? Do you want to talk to your priest, or your clergy, or someone within the church? Is there another farmer that you want to talk to? Is there somebody that you look up to that you would be okay with having these conversations with? And at the same time, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, You know, do you want to go to the ER? Do you want to go to a facility, a clinic? Do you want to see a therapist? And I think the thing that we have to remember on that side of it is that we need to be present for them and make some time in our own day where we say, you know what, I'll help you make the appointment. I know you've got chores to do. You know, I can come out and help you for an hour or so before that, and then we'll go to the appointment together. I'll sit in the waiting room and wait until you're done and, you know, really send that message home that, you know, you're going to be there for them through the long and short of this. And that's the part, to me, out of all of it, that's probably the most crucial throughout this whole process, is to let them know that you're there, that you're going to sit and cry with them, sit in the dark, walk with them to get through this. And as much as busy as we are, and, you know, if someone were to say to you, yeah, I'm not feeling the best, I really do want to talk to you, and maybe you've got a meeting that's coming up in 10 minutes, make a plan. Tell them flat out, you know what, I've got this meeting in 10 minutes. I really want to continue this conversation. As soon as I'm done with this meeting, I will call you back. And people, you know, just promise me you're not going to do anything drastic until that time, and let me call you back. And I will guarantee you that anyone that you talk to, that you tell that to, is going to wait and talk to you because they know that there's actually someone out there that is thinking of them and that cares enough to want to go through this with them. And the reward at the end of the day when this all goes through is that you can go home at night knowing that there is someone that you made a difference with. And then on your darkest days when you're struggling, you can remind yourself, you know, hey, I did this. Like, Joe is still here because of me. Susan is still here because of me. And keep having those conversations. Keep having those difficult conversations. And I think the most important thing that we can do throughout our lives is to, especially to have an impact on people. And I say this at the end of every one of my speeches I give. You know, we live in a world where you can literally be anything you want. Please be kind, but don't forget to be kind to yourself. So that's my message for today. We're in the holiday season, and I know everybody thinks that it's all about bright lights and presents under the tree, but this is the time of year where it's one of the most highest suicide rates and rates of depression of any other time throughout the year. And what we need to do is just be present and be kind. That's my message. I hope that you all are having a great day, having a great season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Our thanks to Jeff Ditzenberger for sharing on this week's PDP podcast. Jeff's been a member of the agricultural community his entire life and founded the group TUGS. That stands for Talking, Understanding, Growing, and Supporting. It's a community nonprofit dedicated to promoting mental wellness and ending the stigma around seeking help for suicide. For more info, go to tugsgroup.org. Thank you again for listening this week, and for archive podcasts, head to pdpw.org. Until next time, have a great week.